Heavenly Father, that is the prayer of our heart this morning, that you would indeed take our hand, lead us on, and let us stand. We have made it through another week only by your grace. We pray now that you would meet with us in these moments together, have your way, fill our hearts to overflowing with your love and care, that we might go out into this world and share the unconditional love of God with everybody we meet. In Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen.
Please stand with us as we sing Grace Greater Than Our Sin.
Be seated. As we prepare to go to prayer, are there joys and concerns that you'd like to share with the family of God? Remember Linda in your prayers. She just had another dose Friday, right, of chemo, and I know she would appreciate your prayers. It's good to see Nancy back up and about. She said she's not quite ready to run a marathon yet, but hang on, it's coming. Okay. Any others? Your brother? Right, okay, thank you. Karen? Pardon? Martha, remember Martha in your prayers, yes. We are fixing to launch onto our first communion service together. Now, it's going to be interesting. We're going to be very traditional about it today and probably for a while, but I'm not sure what's going to come up on the magic screen here, so we're going to work through this thing together, okay? Hopefully this is going to be the same service of communion that is on page 12 of your Methodist hymnal, pages 12 through 14. We will find out in just a minute. If there is a difference, we will go according to the screen, okay? But I invite you to join with me now in the prayer of confession and pardon as we prepare our hearts for communion. If it doesn't come up on the screen, we'll turn to page 12 in our hymnal. Join with me, page 12 in your Methodist hymnal. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly seek to repent of their sin, and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. We have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for another beautiful Lord's Day together. We thank you, Lord, that we have made it through Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. And here we are, a brand new week and a brand new month, ready to celebrate your love and care for us. We realize this morning, Lord, that there are those here who have very special needs. There are those going through physical difficulties. These bodies of ours don't function quite as well as they used to. We pray for your healing touch to be upon each one. There are those here this morning who need a spiritual touch. Perhaps we've come in with our cups a little bit battered and broken. Perhaps we are at a spiritual low right now in our lives. Things haven't gone right, and there have been times, even this past week, when we've wondered where in the world you were. It felt like you were so far away. Remind us, Lord, that in those times when you do seem far away, you haven't moved. Help us that we might draw closer to you. We realize there are those here today going through financial difficulties. Remind us, Lord, that you will supply all of our needs according to your riches and glory. There are those here today going through relationship problems with children and grandchildren and parents and grandparents and siblings and so many others. We just pray that you would heal those relationships, that you would draw each one of them closer to each other and closer to you. We would pray today for our nation. Oh, how we need your help. Lord, it doesn't matter what our political persuasion is. Things don't look real great on either side of the aisle in Washington, D.C. And we need your healing touch on our nation, on the members of Congress, on those running for president. We pray today that you would be with the president of our nation. It matters not whether we like him or dislike him or approve of him or disapprove of him. It's our obligation as your children and as Americans to pray for the President of the United States, that you would lead and guide him and strengthen him and give him a peace of mind and heart as he seeks your will. Remind us today, Lord, that we are American Christians, not Christian Americans. If our faith ever gets to where it's nothing more than an adjective, we're in trouble. Help us that we might indeed realize that we are world citizens of your kingdom, along with our brothers and sisters all over the globe. Keep our eyes and hearts focused on you, and we'll give you all of the praise. But we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Ushers, would you come? Heavenly Father, we pray that you would remind us that those of us gathered here this morning are among the 5% of the richest people in the world. May we give you thanks and praise as we worship you in our tithes and offerings. We pray now that you would bless the gift, bless the giver, bless the one who's unable to give, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Be seated. Almost 3,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, only seems like three, Jesus said, "This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins." The good news for you and me today in 2016 is that the blood has never lost its power.
It has never lost. Today's scripture is 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 to 29. Let me go over with you again exactly what goes on in the Lord's Supper and why it is so centrally important. I received my instructions from the Master himself and passed them on to you. The Master, Jesus, on the night of his betrayal, took bread. Having given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, broken for you. Do this to remember me." After supper, he did the same thing with the cup. "This cup is my blood, my new covenant with you. Each time you drink this cup, remember me." What you must solemnly realize is that every time you eat this bread and every time you drink this cup, you reenact in your words and actions the death of the Master. You will be drawn back to this meal again and again until the Master returns. You must never let familiarity breed contempt. Anyone who eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Master irreverently is like part of the crowd that jeered and spit on him at his death. Is that the kind of remembrance you want to be a part of? Examine your motives. Test your heart. Come to this meal in holy awe. If you give no thought, or worse, don't care, about the broken body of the Master when you eat and drink, you're running the risk of serious consequences. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Four generations of the family were gathered for Sunday dinner. The young daughter stood attentively in the kitchen, watching every move that her mother made as she prepared the meal. Then a question arose in her mind, and she says, "Mommy, why do you cut both ends of the meat off before you cook it?" The mother said that that was the way her mother did it. It added to the flavor because the meat could absorb more of the spices. Well, the girl still wasn't quite satisfied, so she went in the living room and asked her grandmother, "Grandma, why do you and Mommy cut both ends off the meat before you cook it?" Her grandmother answered, "Because that is how my mother always did it. It makes the meat more tender because it soaks up the juices." Great-grandmother was on the sofa. The young girl climbed up into her lap and said, "Gee, Nana, why did you cut both ends off the meat before you cooked it?" The great-grandmother smiled and said, "I had to, honey. The only pan I had wasn't big enough." At a small church out in the country, at a certain point in the service, the congregation would stand and turn to face a blank wall and would sing the doxology, "Praise God from whom all blessings flow." There was a visitor in the service one Sunday, and he was kind of curious about that. So he started asking around after the service, and several of them said, "Well, gee, we've always done it that way." Finally, he went to the oldest member of the church, and the oldest member remembered why it was that they started doing that. They didn't have hymnals at one time in the church there. And so what they did was they painted the words of the doxology on that wall. And then they would turn and face it and read it as they sang. Well, over the years, that wall had been repainted many times, and those words weren't repainted on it. And they would still stand and turn toward the wall and sing the doxology. Often, we lose the real significance of why we do certain things, such as sharing together at the Lord's Supper. I've been in a number of services where people would walk in the door and they would see the communion element set up front, and they would turn around and walk back out again. Now, if you were to approach them and say, "Why did you leave?" "Because it was Communion Sunday." The spiritual thing to say would be, "Well, I'm not worthy." How many here this morning are worthy to receive the Lord's Supper? My hand is in. I was just letting you know what I want you to do. None of us. But They do. What's the significance of communion for you and me in the 21st century? We live in a fast-paced world. We rush through our days. We go through the motions, often without purpose. One of my many favorite movies is the movie Groundhog Day. How many of y'all have seen that one? Yeah, just most of us. Okay, Bill Murray plays Phil, an arrogant Scrooge-like weather forecaster who spent the night in Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania, where he had to do a broadcast the next day about the annual ritual with the groundhog. You remember that. He woke up the next morning, did his story, and was annoyed to discover that he was trapped in Punxsutawney for another night because of a snowstorm. The next morning, he woke up to find that it was, once again, Groundhog Day. The story went on, over and over and over and over. He had to relive that same day until he finally came to grips with himself and with life. Now, this is the good news that Jesus came to deliver to you and me. We can be forgiven. We can make a new start. We can have a new life. We can, with the help of God, make a new beginning. Today can be a brand new day. Our God is a God of second and third and fourth chances. And even more beyond that. Tom was the senior minister of Fifth Avenue Presbyterian Church in New York City. He would often volunteer at the soup kitchen of one of the homeless shelters there. And after the homeless people had been fed, he would invite them to join him in the chapel for a communion service. They had shared soup together, and now they would come together to share the bread and the cup. One day, as Tom was serving communion, a man at the altar rail whispered to him, "Skip me." "Pardon me," Tom said. In a louder whisper, the man said, "Skip me." Tom asked, "Why?" "Because," the man said, "I'm not worthy." Tom said, "Well, I'll tell you what, neither am I. But I'm going to serve communion to these other people. Then I'm going to come back and serve you. And then I want you to serve me." Tom served the others, and then he came back to the reluctant man and said, "What's your name?" The man answered, "Josh." Tom gave him the bread and the cup and said, "Josh, this is the body and blood of Christ given for you. Eat and drink this and remember that Christ lived and died for you. Amen." Josh blinked back the tears and received communion. Then Tom knelt and said, "Now you serve me." Josh nervously took the trays in his weathered hands and said, "Father, are you sure this is legal?" "Yes, it's legal. Just do it." Josh's eyes darted from side to side as if he expected the police or the Pope to come running in and arrest him. Finally, he held the trays toward Tom. Josh muttered, "Body, blood, Jesus for you, hang in there." Tom said later, of all the communion services that he had ever read or ever participated in, he never recalled the words "hang in there" in any of them. He said, "But for me, Holy Communion had never been more holy." As Josh walked out of that homeless shelter, he was standing taller and had a spring in his step. Everywhere he went, he told people, "You won't believe what I did today." The story became so widespread that from that day on, Josh became known on the streets as the Rev. Here's a story of love, grace, acceptance, forgiveness, reconciliation, bridge building, and Holy Communion. It's a story that reminds us of who Jesus is and was. Common people heard Jesus because he loved them. He enjoyed them, and he brought them hope. They heard him gladly because he brought good news, and he practiced what he preached. The common people heard Jesus gladly because of him. They were not common, they were special. And so are we. That's what we remember as we come to the Lord's table. When we share in Holy Communion, my friends, we're celebrating a relationship with the risen Lord. Let me give you four truths this morning about communion that we need to allow God to engrave on our hearts. First, we come to the Lord's table to remember. We heard this morning, "For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself." On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this to remember me." In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying that this cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this to remember me as often as you drink it. We're all familiar with the word amnesia. That means to forget. In the bookstore, there is a book on the shelf entitled Memoirs of a Man with Amnesia. One day, a curious customer took the book down and opened it up to find that all the pages were blank. We know what amnesia means, but the word today that we need to hang on to is anamnesis, which is just the opposite. It means to remember. Paul tells us that at the Last Supper, Jesus did two things. First of all, he was interpreting something old. He was interpreting the Passover meal. In Exodus 12, we read of the first Passover, which included the lamb. It says, "Announce to the whole community that on the 10th day of the month, each family must choose a lamb or a young goat for a sacrifice." Also, Jesus, not only did he interpret something old, he instituted something new. The Lord's Supper came to be celebrated in the church more regularly than that annual Passover. We share communion to remember. Secondly, we gather here to rejoice. Verse 26, "For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you're announcing the Lord's death until he comes again." Not just looking back, but also pointing forward. When we share communion, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Max Lucado, in his book, 6 Hours One Friday, tells of a missionary in Brazil who was working with a tribe of Indians he had discovered in the jungle. Their camp was right near a large river. The tribe was in dire need of medical attention. Many of them were sick, and many of them were suffering from all sorts of things, and the people in the tribe were dying daily. The truth was, the hospital wasn't very far away, but it was on the other side of the river. The Indians wouldn't cross the river because they believed that evil spirits lived in the water. They believed that to enter that water would mean certain death. The missionary explained to them that he'd crossed the river many times, but they weren't impressed. He took them to the river and placed his hand in the water. They did not move. He walked out into the water up to his waist. They were still afraid. Finally, he dove into the river, swam underwater to the other side. Then he climbed up out of the river onto the bank. He had entered the water and escaped. Then the Indians followed him across. Jesus tells us we don't need to fear the river of death, but we don't believe. He brought a dead boy back to life. They didn't believe. He whispered life into the ear of a dead girl, and she arose. After a man had been in the grave for 4 days, Jesus called for him to come out. He did, and the people still did not believe. Finally, Jesus himself entered the river of death and came out on the other side. And this is why we celebrate the Lord's Supper. We're here to celebrate his death and resurrection. We remember, we rejoice, and thirdly, because of God's unconditional love and grace, we come to repent. Verses 27 and 28 of our text today. Anyone who eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Master irreverently is like that part of the crowd that jeered and spit on him at his death. Is that the kind of remembrance you want to be part of? Examine your motives, test your heart, come to this meal in holy awe. If you give no thought, or worse, don't care about the broken body of the Master, when you eat and drink, you're running the risk of serious consequences. Sharing communion provides an opportunity for us to examine ourselves, and if the Holy Spirit shines light on anything in our lives that's unworthy of the body and blood of the Lord, we have the opportunity to repent and to experience forgiveness and cleansing. Back in the late 1840s, 1 out of 6 women died shortly after giving birth. It was called childbirth fever. A doctor's daily routine usually started with performing autopsies. From there, he made the rounds to examine expectant mothers. Washing hands between patients then was not routine, at least not until a Hungarian doctor named Ignaz Semmelweis began to practice strict hand washing. He was the first doctor to associate a lack of hand washing with high fatality rates. Dr. Semmelweis maintained that childbirth fever was caused by unclean material conveyed to a wound. He lost only 1 in 50 patients. Remember, 1 in 6 were dying. His patients only 1 in 50. Yet his colleagues laughed and ridiculed him and would not believe. Communion is a time for you and me to allow God to cleanse us from all that contaminates us. Our failure to confess sins in spiritual dis-ease hinders our spiritual journey. Today we're invited to repent, to allow God to transform our minds and our hearts and direction. We're not good enough to receive communion, but thank God it's not about our goodness, it's about God's goodness. For God so loved that he gave. We share communion to remember, to rejoice, to repent, and finally, to reconcile. Verse 29, for if you eat of the bread or drink of the cup without honoring the body of Christ, you're eating and drinking God's judgment upon yourselves. One Sunday, the Duke of Wellington entered the great cathedral. And when the time came, he went down to the front to receive communion. A poor, ragged, elderly gentleman got up out of his seat, walked down the aisle, and when he got down to the front, he knelt down beside the Duke. Whispers and gasps could be heard all over the church. An usher came forward and tapped the old man on the shoulder and told him that he would have to get up and he'd have to wait until after the Duke had received communion. But the great commander heard and saw what was happening. He heard the whispers and he heard the gasp. He took the old man's hand and he said, "You don't need to move. We are all equal here." I like that. We're all equal here. Paul reminds us that there's neither Jew nor Greek, neither bond nor free, neither male nor female. We are all one in Christ Jesus. We're invited now to be reconciled to God and to each other. We've shared the sacrament with Christians around the world for almost 2,000 years now, to remember, to rejoice, to repent, and to reconcile. This is Christ's table. The meal is not for members only. It's open to everyone who seeks to respond to Christ's love and lead a new life in that love. Jesus invites us to take the bread and the cup that help us to remember his sacrifice of love for everyone. Heavenly Father, we pray now that you would prepare our hearts to come to your table as we share together with our brothers and sisters in your sacrifice and your love. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite you now to either watch the screens or turn to page 13 in your hymnal as we join together in the great Thanksgiving. We need to go down one notch. One more. There we are. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through the prophets. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, 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 Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always in the power of your word and Holy Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took the bread, gave it to his disciples, and broke it, gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, with the confidence of children of God, let us pray together as Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Would those who are going to assist with the serving please come forward? As they are coming, let me give a little bit of explanation. As I mentioned, this is our first time together for a meal of this type. What I'm going to ask them to do, first of all, is to go up and serve the musicians, if you would please, so they don't have to make the trek all the way across the platform, if you would serve them. And then I would ask you all to come forward as there's room at the altar rail, and they will serve you. You will receive the bread. Once you have received it, you may eat it. You will receive the cup. Once you've received it, you may drink it. And then we will have the prayer of dismissal for those at the altar rail. You may go back down the side aisle to your seat. The next group will be in line already, ready to come forward. The Lord's table is prepared. You are invited. As his child, won't you come? If you are done, arise now and go in love, and may the love of God be shed abroad in your hearts. Are there those who wish to be served at their seat? No. Okay. you, folks. Thank you. The scriptures tell us that in that upper room that night, after they had received the bread and the cup, they sang a hymn and they went out. Sounds like a plan to me.
Please join with us with Freely, Freely.
God forgave my sin. Christians at Colossae are the words that I share with you this morning. He said, as you have received Jesus Christ the Lord, so walk ye in him. Go now in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you. Who dat?